Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see everybody that you made it. And so go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 19 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God, line upon line and precept upon precept. And we're going to, you notice I have a couple chairs up here, and there's a reason why, and we'll get to that later, further down in the service here. And but we're going to continue to look at this man, Zacchaeus, and look at his conversion to come into Christ. And I always think about, I like to compare my conversion when Jesus saved me compared to what he went through. Because my sister's always calling me Zacchaeus, so he's a wee little bitty man. Yeah. Yep, and so we're going to continue to look at that. So look at verse 1, and then we'll pick up in this story here. Then Jesus entered, and he passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of a short stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place where he looked up and he saw him, he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. I love that part. I love how the fact that Jesus kind of just, hey, come down, I'm going to eat at your house today. He made himself at home. You know what? I find out that when people come to my house, I kind of look at people and I say, I look at their faces and their character and their and how they are exhibit. I exhibit the way they feel at my house, because when you come to my house, I want you to feel at home as if it's your house, just like the house of God. This is all of our houses, even those who never been here. I tell them, this is your house. This is the house of God. I like to go to other churches, and I like to feel like, hey, this is my church as well. But I always look at, you know, you should be able to feel at home when you go into a house of a believer, because Jesus said if they accept you, when you go to somebody's house, if they accept you, you are to leave your blessing there. But if they don't accept you, then dust the feet off your shoes. And if you're going to dust the feet off your shoes, do it in their house. You know, here you go, on their carpet, you know. No, but so we should be able to. Jesus, he felt at home. He just, hey, Zacchaeus, come down with haste right now, right this moment, because I'm going to go dine in your house. You're gonna make me some supper. You're going to cook for me right now. You know, so Jesus was able to do that. And then verse 6, he goes on, he says, so he made haste, he came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they complained, saying, he has gone to be with the guests with a man who is a sinner. And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Father, as we look to this story, this is a very beautiful story. Father, it's a story that's been read to many children and throughout the years. I mean, I read this book to my children when they were 5, 4, and 3, and it's just a beautiful story of a man, Lord, that we can relate to and see how he came to Christ. And so, Father, bless us this morning as we look to your word. We pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And, Lord, that, again, that we would have this same passion that Jesus had, the same love and heart for those, Father, who aren't saved, Lord, for those who don't know you, Father, that we wouldn't be quick to judge or quick to look at them and in our own eyes, but may we see one another through the eyes of God, through the eyes of Christ. So bless us, Lord, this morning. Bless us with your word. And we do give you glory and honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. All right, so last week we were talking about the conversion of Jesus. And I was giving you 4 points, but we didn't quite get through the 4 points. But I'm going to give you a recap of the first three, and then we'll pick up at the fourth point. But look at verse 5. So we see Zacchaeus here. He wanted to see Jesus. He heard about Jesus. And I'm sure that obviously he heard about Matthew, who was also a tax collector. And he was kind of the chief tax collector. So he was the boss. He was the one that probably handled all the tax collectors for the Romans, those who were collecting and all the money there and so on. And so I'm sure he heard that, hey, Matthew got saved. Matthew's one of the disciples. Don't you just love it when people say, what, you're saved? Or I would have thought you would never be, of all the people, I thought you would be the least to get saved. I mean, they used to say that about me, my family members. Of all your dad's kids, you were the worst. I was considered the black sheep of the family. And then one said, hey, of all your dad's kids, I thought you would be the worst of all, the least to be saved or to do good. And I just love the fact that what it shows is nothing that I did, but it shows that God is real. Amen. It shows that my life is changed. Why? Because God changed it. Amen. I tried to change it. I couldn't do it. You never can. And yeah, you can't, because it's impossible. That's why God says with man it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. And God says, come as you are. And so we have this chief tax collector. And I'm going to give you kind of a recap of these points. And if you didn't write them down last week, write them down this week. But he look at verse 5. So it says that when Jesus came to the place, he was walking, going into Jericho, and he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus up in that tree, that man. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay in your house. And so he made haste, he came down, and he received him joyfully. Now, I want to I'll give you a few points here, 4 points regarding Zacchaeus' conversion here and how he received the Lord and how it's really a simple invitation of Jesus. And so I want you to notice these points. The first point I gave was the fact that Jesus looked up and Jesus saw him. Jesus knew who he was. I mean, this is one of the greatest stories ever told. And so Jesus, the point is the fact that Jesus sees us all. Don't ever think Jesus doesn't see you. He sees us. And why? Because why? He's God, right? Do you believe that? Jesus is God, right? He's the second person of the Trinity. We say the first God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But he is God. And because he is God, he sees everything. He sees you when you're in private. He sees you when you're in public. He sees you when you're at home, when you're at work, when you're at play. But he sees everybody. Why? Because he's omnipresent. God's the only one that's omnipresent. Even Satan is not omnipresent. He can only be at one place at one time. So do you think he's going to say, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to go mess with Pastor Steve. No, he said, you know what? Instead, I think I'll go mess with with Biden, because he has more influences. We're talking the leader of our country here, and so he can't. But he has demons who do. Demons mess with us, and you know what? If you are being messed with, that's a good thing. You want to know why? Because it means you're a threat to him. He's only going to mess with those who are a threat, those who can mess with his agenda and mess with trying to send souls to hell and everything. And here we're doing the opposite. We're trying to reach out to people, give them the gospel, and to lead them to Christ and to point them to the Lord. And so we become a threat. So every time I get messed with, I don't like it, but I say, okay, I must be a threat. Because I think he's saying, okay, what is Pastor Steve going to do today? Get on him. Because he, especially on Sundays, get on him Saturday night because he's going to be sharing the Word of God. And we want to make sure that we bring all kinds of distractions. We want to distract, get their focus off the Word of God, get their focus on situations, get their focus on maybe something that's happening within the church with people. Get them to look around and not worship the Lord. Let them be distracted with their surroundings. He'll do that. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Jesus is omnipresent. The second point here in regards to Zacchaeus' conversion is Jesus knew him and he called him by name. Jesus knows each and every one of us by name. You know, I met some of you this morning and I already forgot your names. That's how bad I am. I forget, you know, I'll leave here and I'll forget what I talked about. You know. Carmen, pray for Carmen because she's not feeling well. She's got that cold. So I told her, just stay home and relax. She's been pushing it, and so I told her, just relax. But she'll say, okay, hey, what did you teach this morning? Oh, wait a minute, I got to use the restroom. Wait a minute, you know, I got to do something else, you know. it's hard, but Jesus, he knows he's God. He called him by name. He knew him by name. And I love the fact that Jesus, he makes things so simple. And the reason why he called him by name, he knew him personally, is because Jesus is omniscient. That means he possesses all the knowledge there is to have, and he knows what's best for us. Does he know what's best for you? Or do you know what's best for you better than he does? You might say that, but sometimes when we do something, it shows differently. And not because we do it because we know it, but because sometimes we forget. Sometimes I want to do something for the Lord, and I'll go and I'll do it, and I forgot. I forgot to include the Lord here. You know, I forgot, Jesus, you were trying to tell me how to do it, but I wasn't listening. But Jesus is omniscient, so he knows everything. So in Zacchaeus' conversion to getting saved, Jesus knew him by name. And then thirdly, let me get down here to the third point, Jesus asked Zacchaeus to receive him with haste. Hurry up. You remember, where is he heading to? He's heading to Jerusalem. He's at the point now of doing the very thing that he came, and that is to die on the cross. And so Jesus saw that. He knew how that he can't delay anymore. He's got to get there to Jerusalem. But he welcomed Zacchaeus. He received him. And he wanted to be entertained by Zacchaeus, to be fed by him and to bring salvation into his home. And he wanted Zacchaeus to act right then and there to receive Jesus' invitation. He said, hey, Jesus, make haste. Come down now. Don't waste any longer. You know, I wasted 18 years of my life. It took me 18 years before I gave my heart to Jesus. But you know how many times that he tried to reach out to me within my life as a child? He already knew me. He knew me before the world existed. So he already had me as a baby before I became accountable. But the minute I came accountable, it took a while for me to give him my life. And he wanted Zacchaeus, hey, make haste, come now. I want you to get saved now. I want to give you salvation. I want you to know me now. And so he did. So that was part of his conversion. Now here's the fourth point. Write it down. The fourth point of his conversion was the fact that Zacchaeus, he obeyed the word of Jesus and he made haste and he received Christ joyfully. Remember that first day that you accepted Jesus, how you felt? Wasn't it the most exciting thing that you ever did in your life? I didn't quite understand it when I first accepted the Lord. I was 18. But I started getting excited when my life started to change. Being out there in the neighborhood and seeing that, you know, I'm not desiring to hang out anymore, to hang out with the fellas and everything and do what I did. I didn't like that, and I started to feel like, man, I'm happy. Especially when I came into the church and I didn't realize what was going on. But man, I started feeling this joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Didn't understand it. But Zacchaeus, he obeyed the word of the Lord. Jesus said, come down, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree right now because you're going to have salvation. And he went down right away. He didn't hesitate. He went, came down, and he received it joyfully. Listen what John said in chapter 1, verse 12. But as many who has received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Doesn't that make you happy? You have the right to be a child of God. And it came from God himself, from Christ. You know, when Jesus pointed out Zacchaeus, look at, hey, Zacchaeus, called him by name, you can imagine what everybody else thought. You know, obviously, as we're going to see, they didn't like it. And I think Zacchaeus, wow, the main man, the Messiah, Jesus, the one everybody's talking, he called me by name. Of all the people that God saved, he saved you. I always like to think about that. Of all the people who could have got saved, you chose me. I was chosen. I got the golden ticket. You know, like Willy Wonka, the golden ticket. I got the golden ticket, but the golden ticket I have is the streets of gold. You know, I got eternal life. So we have the right to become children of God. And Zacchaeus, he was so happy to receive Jesus because Jesus called Zacchaeus to himself. You know, I grew up, as far as the Bible, I grew up, I had to go through another man. I had to go through somebody else in order to go to God, and I still couldn't go to God. But Zacchaeus, Jesus called him to himself. He didn't call him to anyone else. It had nothing to do with anybody else. It was just him and Jesus. And he came to Jesus and Jesus alone. And that made him happy. So Zacchaeus, he received Jesus and he received the Messiah himself. And I think Zacchaeus, he's a very good example on how someone can get saved and how someone can come to Jesus. Now, I want to share this step, this process that he went through to get saved. And that's the reason why I have these chairs here, okay? And I want you to listen to this. As you read these verses about Zacchaeus, as we read them, this is a very good example of someone who got saved and how he got saved. First of all, Zacchaeus, he got saved by what? By seeking after Jesus with persistency, with determination. And it was evident that he wanted to see Jesus by what he did. Okay? Now, we hear a lot of times, hey, we're going to church. You're going to go to church? God willing. Okay, I hear that a lot. I know God's willing. When is God never willing for anybody to come fellowship with him, right? I don't think if you say, hey, God, you want me to come fellowship? Nah, not today. You know, no. But it does say, you know, to seek the Lord if you're going to do this and that. You have to seek the Lord. But trust me, God's willing. God's willing for you to seek him. And so Zacchaeus, you know, it was evident in his life on how that he wanted to see Jesus by his persistency, his determination to go and see Jesus. That's where it started. And secondly, he got saved by what? By humbling himself and receiving Jesus. Sometimes you just got to get knocked off your horse like Saul, like Paul. Sometimes you got to get slapped around a little and say, hey, you know what? God wants to meet you right now. God wants to save you. Well, he humbled himself because why? He climbed a tree. He climbed a tree in front of everybody. And you know, they didn't wear pants back then, so, you know, I'm sure he had to be very careful about that. You know what I mean? He was a man of respect with other tax collectors. He was very rich. But he had to humble himself in order, what, to see Jesus by getting up and climbing that tree. Then from there, he got saved by, he came to Jesus no matter how sinful he was or even if he was hated. I don't know about you guys, but if I saw a crowd of people there and there was somebody I wanted to see and I knew all those people hated me and, you know, I'm going to get abused by them and they're going to just tell me, I already know how sinful I am. They're going to tell me how sinful I am. I don't know about you, but I don't think I would have went. Okay? He did. Regardless of how sinful he was and how hated he was, that he didn't allow that to stop him to come to Jesus. And then he got saved by responding to Jesus' invitation when Jesus called him by name. I love it when the Lord calls me by name. Now, audibly, I heard God call me or Jesus call me by name one time, audibly. And that's when I gave my kidney to my brother. And I was in that hospital, and they told me the third day is going to be the worst day of your life. The worst day. And that night, I didn't take any mind to it. But I'm laying there, and I'm asleep, sleeping. And then I heard my name. Somebody called my name. And I woke up, and I thought it was a nurse coming in because they came in to check my vitals. Periodically, they would come in and check them. And I didn't see anybody, so I went back to sleep. I heard it again. And it said my name, Stevie. I woke up thinking it was the nurse. It wasn't the nurse. And so I was like, okay, am I dreaming? I'm not recalling having a dream. So I laid down again, and then I heard it again, but this time I was more alert. And then I heard Stevie, and the words went right through me. It was like my name went right through me out the other end, and it just filled me with this knowledge of God just called my name. And I know it was not the morphine. I know it wasn't because of how people, no, that's just the morphine. No, it wasn't. Even though I was doing this, because of how it was said and just traveling, it was long and it was like an invitation. God was preparing me for that day, which was one of the worst days of my life as far as pain-wise. And so Zacchaeus, he got saved by responding to this invitation of Jesus when he says, Zacchaeus, come down. And then from there, he got saved by receiving Jesus without delay. He made haste. He didn't waste any time. He just got down. He didn't say, he got down right away. And I think that's so important when the Lord wants us to be in his presence, when the Lord wants us to have fellowship, don't hesitate. The minute you hesitate, you'll find reason why not to go. It's just like this event here. I know people drove up and they looked and they said, turn around and left. I'm not going to, get on them about it. I just think that the enemy will use situations like this to determine our worship of God.
Not mine.
But in fact, I think a lot of people also use what they did Saturday night to determine the worship of God of Sunday morning. I've been there. I know. I've done it. Got home late at night. I'm just going to go to bed or sleep. But this man got saved because he didn't delay. It says he made haste. He hurried up. And then he got saved by what? Coming down to see Jesus instead of looking up to him looking down to him when he was in that tree. He was looking down at Jesus. He came down to Jesus, and therefore he ended up looking up to Jesus now because he was a short man. So he had to look up to Jesus. God was saying, you need to look up to me. Instead of looking down to me, look up to me. And that's what happens when Jesus or when God brings you closer in a relationship with him. The closer you get to the Lord, the more you're going to look up to him. He got saved by coming down out of that tree and looking up to him. And then he got saved by what? By receiving Jesus himself. He received Jesus in his life. He received Jesus in his home because Jesus said, I'm going to your home. And he received Jesus with what? With joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? When you are happy, if you're happy about your relationship with the Lord, if you're happy about being saved, that's your joy. That's your strength. That's what you hold on to. So the joy of the Lord's our strength. Then he got saved despite the obstacles or what other people were saying about him. He didn't see obstacles. Guys, he saw opportunities. He saw an opportunity to be with Jesus. He could have saw an obstacle. He could have said, well, you know, the people all there, they're crowded, a lot of people. I can't get to Jesus, so forget it. And besides, they're all, you know, messing with me. I'm sure they treated him very hatefully because he was a chief, not just a tax collector, but the head tax collector. He was rich because he took advantage of the people, of their taxes, of their money. And so he didn't see any obstacles. He saw opportunities. He saw an opportunity to get saved. And then he got saved by receiving Jesus with what? With a repentant heart. And he made restitution by making things right, first with the Lord, and then secondly with others, right? Didn't he say after he got saved, hey, Jesus, when he received Jesus, hey, if I stole anything from somebody, I'm going to give him four times. I'm not just going to give back what they stole. I'm going to give back four times as much. And so these are the steps that this chief tax collector took to receive eternal life with Christ. And the beautiful thing about it, guys, he did it in front of everyone. And I think that's why when God is tugging at your heart, or when he wants you to come forward, if I have an invitation to come forward, if you're struggling with something for prayer, that's why the Lord wants to do it in front of everybody, because Zacchaeus, he called, he got saved in front of everybody, and Jesus hung on the cross publicly. He didn't do it. He did it openly. He didn't do it behind closed doors. When he died on the cross, he did it in front of everybody. Everybody. And not in front of everybody who loved him, but a lot of those who even hated him. Don't ever be scared to come down if God is speaking to your heart, or embarrassed. Thank God that his son wasn't embarrassed to do it in front, to die on the cross in front of everybody. But I love how God makes it very simple for people to get saved. We make it difficult. You know, when I talk to people about accepting Christ, and I tell them, God makes it very simple, they make it difficult because they think that, like me, that there's more to it. There's something I got to do more to get saved. I got to go to your church, or I got to change. I got to look, I got to cut my hair. I got to dress differently. That was my mentality. When they asked if I would accept the Lord, I don't know. That means I'm going to have to cut my hair. That means I'm going to have to wear a suit. That means I'm going to have to change the way I think and the way I talk. And they said, no, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is receive it by faith. God will take care of the rest. And when I did that, they were right. God did take care of the left. God makes it simple. We make it difficult. Look at verse 7. And it goes on and says, but when Zacchaeus accepted Jesus' invitation, when he accepted Jesus in his home, he accepted his gift of salvation. When they saw it, those who were there saw it, they complained, saying, hey, Jesus, he's gone to be with a guest, with a man who's a sinner. And then Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of the goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. So here's the results of a true conversion. The results of a true conversion, it's called repentance and acceptance. It means repenting, turning from your sin, turning from your old ways, and being accepted by God. This is the act of a life that has truly been changed. And not only does he change the inside of one's heart, but he also changes one's whole way of life. Your whole life changes, right? I mean, when you accepted the Lord, are you doing the same things that you did before Christ? Anybody? You know? I know there's a lot of things I do not do that God took away from my life. When I accepted him, he took all the bad stuff from me, and he took the good stuff, and what? He made it better. He perfected it. Zacchaeus, he was a sinner. In fact, he was a chief sinner, just like Paul. Paul said, I'm the chief of all sinners. But literally, Zacchaeus, he was a chief of all of tax sinners. And I want you to notice in verse 7, it tells us that they murmured and they complained. They Everybody knew Zacchaeus was a betrayer of his people, the people of Israel. They knew he betrayed his country, how he lived to serve the Roman government, the power of Rome. But who are they? Who are they? Who they talking about? They, them over there. They. Okay. They were the religious leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, those leaders who are supposed to be the leaders of Israel. We're talking like pastors and elders and leadership. They were the ones that they were the ones. And not only the religious leaders, but also they knew he was a sinner, but the common people as well. They knew he was a sinner as well. Well, so they're the religious leaders and even the common people. They knew he was a sinner. He was a tax collector. They hated him. And so the ones who, hold up, let me get a drink here. When I get excited, you know, I got to take a drink. breathe. Okay. Get excited when you talk about the Word of God, man. But again, they are the ones who, not many hours from now, they're the ones that are going to what? Lay down their coats. They're going to break off tree branches, lay them down, and they're going to cry out to Jesus as he rides into Jerusalem in verse 38, and they're going to say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. These are the same ones that know that Zacchaeus is a sinner. These are the ones that are complaining about Jesus eating with Zacchaeus. These are the ones that are going to worship Jesus as he rides into Jerusalem, but they also are the ones who are going to cry out, crucify him in Jerusalem. Not all of them, but most of them. From worshiping the Lord to hating the Lord. Think about it. You know what this shows me? I said, do you know what this shows me? Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay. This is what it shows me, guys. How important it is to have a balance in your relationship with the Lord. So important. Greg Laurie said it best. He said this. Too much of the Spirit and not enough of the Word of God, you blow up. Too much of the Word of God and not enough of the Holy Spirit in your life, you dry up. But a balance of both, you grow up. In other words, you cannot survive on a relationship that's only based on feelings and emotions only. You can't. Why? Because your feelings and emotions, they go up and down and they change according to what you're dealing with throughout the day, right? You don't feel the same every day. You didn't feel the same when you walk. When you leave this room here, you're not going to feel, I hope you do, you're not going to feel the same. Well, actually, I don't want you to. You're not going to feel the same way you came in. I hope you feel better when you leave. I hope you feel closer to the Lord. But whatever you're dealing with today, that changes your emotions. It changes your feelings. And if you have that type of relationship, one day you'll be crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, one moment. And then you're going to be crying out, crucify, crucify the next. That's why you have to put the Word of God. You got to read the Word of God for yourself. I'm talking the facts. I'm talking the truth. And you have to worship the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, and strength as well. Because facts and feelings are the life of a believer. Because you have to base your feelings on the facts, on the Word of God. The Word of God has to be the foundation. But if you have a total feeling, emotional relationship with the Lord, one day you're going to be praising Him, then the next you're going to be like Jesus said, hey, bitter water and good water can't come from the same fountain. They can't mix. But if your relationship is just based on feeling, just, hey, I'm not going to read the word of God. I'm just going to, yeah, I praise God. And next thing you know, you're going to be cursing somebody. So they knew that Zacchaeus was a sinner. And even Zacchaeus himself knew he was a sinner. He knew he betrayed. He was a betrayer. He was a thief. He was taking more than he should have from many people. But now that he met Jesus there on that sycamore tree, Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner, and he confessed his need for a Savior, and that's what he did. And what's interesting, those who complained, they complained about him, about Jesus eating with that sinner. Hey, wait a minute, he's eating with that sinner. Those who complained, they were demonstrating this self-righteousness in their life. They were demonstrating hatred for Zacchaeus. And Jesus said, if you hate someone in your heart, what? You murdered them. They were expressing murder in their heart for him. So they were condemning Jesus for eating and associating with this great sinner. And they were showing this double standard of judgment. Because they were condemning Jesus, who was obviously sinless, and others who were sinners by their own what? Sin. Look what it says in verse 7. It says, but when they saw it, they complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. So they condemned Jesus for eating with Zacchaeus by their own sin of what? Murmuring and complaining. In fact, grumbling and complaining, that was Israel. That's what Israel did out in the wilderness, remember? When the Lord brought them out, all they did was murmur and complain against Moses. And the Lord had to deal with them. But here in verse 7, they just didn't understand that the purpose of Jesus, what his purpose was. And that was to what? Save sinners. See, that's the purpose of Jesus, is to save sinners. And if it's the purpose of Jesus, then it's the purpose of what? Of you, of us. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Listen to what Paul said. He says, you therefore who teach another, do you teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say don't commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who take on idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemy among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. You who tell others, do you teach yourself? I have to always remember, I counsel a lot of people. I have to remember sometimes I got to take my own counsel. When I go through something, I remember what you said to this person. You who teach others, do you teach yourself? See, they were teaching others, but they weren't teaching themselves. They were complaining about Jesus eating with that sinful sinner, but they condemned him with their own sin. Of what? Of hatred, murder, of complaining and murmuring. But keep in mind, and in your own life, the purpose of why Jesus came. Look at verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is what? Lost. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, in whom Paul said, I am the chief. So Zacchaeus, you know, when he repented and that part of his life that was hindering him, his stealing the tax and taking more from others, it was changed. He completely turned around from his sinfulness, and he turned to God. And the proof was the fact that he was what? Willing to give half of his goods to the poor and to give four times back to those who he cheated. See, that's proof of a changed life. Where's the proof in your life that you have changed? The people notice, hey, I notice you don't do that anymore. Or, hey, you know, I notice that you're happy all the time. Or, hey, you know, why are you so joyful? Or, I don't believe in God, but what you have, I want. Man, that's amazing. When somebody can come and say, I don't believe in God, but what you have, I want that. Because why? They see Christ in you. They see the changed life. So he, Zacchaeus, did exactly what Jesus said to do to others, but and he did exactly what that rich young ruler refused to do, and that was to give up all that he had and come serve the Lord. So he gave back to those whom he had cheated, but he gave back four times what he had taken. He made things right. He made restitution. I wonder what those who he cheated thought about this. You know, they hate him so much, and now here he comes. Hey, you know what? I took all this from you, but I'm going to give you four times more. That's how rich he was. And he did take advantage of a lot of people, and he had surely had to track them all down in order to pay him back. I'm going to give you a good testimony, example of this, of a person, a brother in the Lord who comes here. He told me one time his neighbor had a car, and he had some beautiful hubcaps on it. So one day when he got out, he went over there, he stole them. He took the hubcaps. A year gone by, he accepted the Lord, he got saved. And the Lord told him, return those hubcaps. So he went, humbled himself, took them, and he went and he knocked on the door and he said, a year ago, I stole these from your car, and I accepted Jesus Christ in my life, and now I want to return them back to you. And they're like, that's okay. Go ahead and keep them. The insurance company paid for them and gave us better ones. I don't know I can't remember if he gave them back or if he kept them. But the fact was, when he accepted Jesus Christ, he wanted to make things right, and he wanted to make restitution. He did. He gave them back. They said, that's okay. Thank you for, telling me. But that's that's true repentance. That's a true conversion from the Lord. Look at verse 9. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come and seek to save that which is lost. Jesus was now looking to Jesus as the Savior, the Messiah, the one who gave him salvation. We're talking eternal life just like us. And it was Jesus who proclaimed and confirmed that salvation had come to this man's house. And he said it, he confirmed it by two things that he said. One, it's because Jesus saved Zacchaeus. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, he said that you're going to bring the message of salvation to your whole household now. That was confirmation he got saved. Okay, now you're going to go and you're going to save your whole household. It's going to get saved. Remember the story of when Paul and Silas, they were preaching the gospel, they got arrested and they were thrown into prison. Then one night as they were worshiping the Lord and singing to the Lord, the angel of the Lord came, opened the gate, and all the gates were open, and the jailer came in, and when he saw the doors of the jails open, he got his sword, he's ready to kill himself, and then Paul said, Peter said, no, don't do it, we're all here, nobody's left, we're here, and he went and he got a lantern and looked, and everybody was in there, the doors were open, and he ended up what? Getting saved. And Paul and Peter said, you're going to get saved, not only you, but your whole household will be saved. And so he took them, he ministered to them, he cleaned them up, he took them home, and he fed them, and he introduced them to his whole household, and his whole household got saved. Can you imagine going to jail, and the jailer say, hey, you know what, I'm going to take you to my house to eat tonight. You're not going to need the brown bag bologna sandwich, okay? If you're coming to my house, yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. He got saved. Because why? Because he got saved, his whole household got saved. Didn't mean that because he got saved, they're automatically saved. But because of his relationship, because he got saved, he took the word of God in his home, they all got saved. I think I was the first one to get saved. And then it led to Nita, led to Lori, led to my brother Joey, to my brother Timmy, to my brother Ruben. A couple of them are, at least I know one of them is not walking with the Lord. But because I got saved, I was obedient. That led to them getting the gospel. And then secondly, Jesus said, hey, Zacchaeus is a true son of Abraham. Well, obviously, not a physical son, but a spiritual son, just like all Israel, just like us. We're spiritual, a spiritual Israel, because we've been grafted in. And they believed that being a Jew meant that you were a son of Abraham. But Abraham was not the father of the physical seed. He was a father of a spiritual seed to those who believed and obeyed the Lord, just like Abraham did. Though I remember that God was God's promise. Abraham, if you serve me, look at the stars, look at the sand. That's how many descendants you're going to have. We're part of that. We're part of what he did. But it's Jesus who's the one who saves and who seeks and saves the lost. Look at verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now I want to share one scripture and then I'm going to tell you the point of the chairs. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul said this. This is good and pleasing to God, our Savior. Okay, you hear what I said? This is good and pleasing. For he longs for all to be saved and to understand the truth. This is what God longs for. That God is on one side of all the people and the people on the other side. And Christ Jesus himself is between them both to what? To bring them together by giving his life for all mankind. In other words, Jesus is our advocate. God sees each and every one of you righteous. Why? Because he's looking at you through the righteousness of Christ. When I come to God, Jesus is like this. And I'm right here. And obviously God is huge. He's right here. And he's looking right at me. Chief of all sinner, right there in front of God. But Jesus is holding up his hands and showing these marks in the sides and saying, Dad, I'm the advocate. I'm the one who's standing in the gap for the people so they can what? Get saved, so they can come and they can see you and you can see them. And so what the Lord showed me is that I want you to think, okay, everybody here, think of someone who's not saved. Okay, I'm sure everybody here knows someone who's not saved. Now I want you to picture heaven according to how you read it from the scriptures. Picture heaven. I call it the land of no more. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sin, evil, new bodies. Think about all that. Now I want you to think about hell. Picture hell. What hell, according to the Bible, says is going to be torment, suffering for eternity, total separation from God. Jesus stood in the gap so that we would not go. I like that saying, this is the closest that we will ever be to hell. Those who are not saved, this is the closest that they'll ever get to heaven. We need to stand in the gap for those who are going to hell. Those who are saved, just like Jesus stood in the gap for us and he's still standing in the gap, you can stand in the gap for that person or those loved ones who you know aren't saved. And so what I want to do, the Lord showed me, is put up a couple chairs. And if you know someone who's not saved, someone who's going to hell, a loved one, and you want to stand in the gap to come down here and sit in this chair, and the pastors and elders are going to come down, and we're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray over you as you stand in the gap for them. And pray that God would give you that divine appointment to lead them to the Lord.